Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So, you know, thinking about this, that, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, getting a biblical perspective of all creation, of our creation, of why we're here, you know, for fellowship for God. When you think about why we're created to have fellowship with God. That's a primary thing. And fellowship with God, a friend of God is one who hears God and does what he says, you know. That's a friend. A friend is not somebody who just shows up, you know, hears you talk and then just walks away. I mean, a friend cares about what you care about. And we didn't, you know, so many things being taught that are incorrect and does not line up with Scripture. And but you can verify it by just picking up the Bible and reading it. It's not that complicated. Whatever it says is what God's talking about. And you know, people tell you, you know, what does that mean to you? Well, it means what it means. Now, how that applies to your life can be differently, but it does, some people are trying to change, you know, the interpretation of God's word, but it's the same. It means the same thing. And one is that when you look at, you know, we're supposed to be building for 1,000 years, you know, and just get a long-term vision. And we talked about, you know, Admiral Stockdale and understanding on an earlier program about, you know, getting a long-term vision about what's going on. That's difficult to do when doctrines are being, you know, people are telling you that any moment in a twinkling of an eye, you're going to drop your cappuccino and you're going to be taken away to be with God. I mean, it's just, it's throwing you off because God's going build for 1,000 years and you're just like, you're waiting to drop your cappuccino. I mean, you're just, you know, that's really what's going on. You know, in a moment, we'll all be at Starbucks. We'll be having our pumpkin latte, whatever, you know, because we love Jesus, and he's just going to take us away, and everybody else is going to suffer, but I myself, I'm not going to suffer. I'm not going to go through anything. 5% of the world's population, then a percentage of the 5% who are Christians in America, while, you know, Miriam Ibrahim is having to deliver her child in chains in Sudan prison, trying to escape to the country that we live in, while we're not even utilizing this freedom that God expects us to do something with. Because, you know, people say, well, the world's going to be destroyed by fire. And it's like, well, what about the 1,000-year millennial reign? I mean, that's going to be on earth. When you think about the world was destroyed by the flood, the earth wasn't destroyed by the flood, but it was mankind and life that was happening at the time when the earth was destroyed. The earth was still here. And God's going to redeem the earth. He's going to redeem the kingdoms of this world. I mean, he's going to redeem it. And so the thing about it, we got to get rid of this escapism. I mean, even if, you know, God suddenly just shows up and, you know, takes you out of here, you're going to have to answer for what you didn't do. That you were narcissistic, idolatrous, and all you thought about was escapism, and then how you were not going to suffer for anything. When Jesus said, unless you pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me, you can't have any part of me. I just heard somebody recently say, I just wish God would take me on. I'm like, you better hold on a minute, because I don't see much love there, and you don't want to stand before the throne of God without loving.
No,
because you got a religious spirit. You think take you on, you know. You better get busy with the things of God, because He's going to hold you accountable for what you did or didn't do. I mean, look what He said. He said, you know, you wicked and lazy servant, go where there's weeping and gnashing. You know, all these different things He says, and it's like, don't rush it. You know, you need some time to go, you know what? First, I want to do what He says. I want to, because a lover of God is an obedient person of God, somebody who wants to walk in the ways of God. And there's a lot of people that are saying things that make you feel good so that you will stay in that whole thing as a giving unit to help fulfill their mandate for their mortgage or their building plan or whatever they're building. But that means nothing when 9/11 hits. The Twin Towers meant nothing. They folded like pancakes when the Joplin tornadoes hit. It was just nothing. Katrina hit, and when Ivan hit, and when the wars happening, and all these different, you know, these things that people are building versus building people and building the kingdom of God, they should be telling you the truth at the risk of them not being able to pay their mortgage payment, maintain their car and their 401k. They should be telling you the truth. And if they're not, you need to find someone who's going to tell you the truth, because you're going to be held accountable for the truth. If you said, you know, I'm just going to hang around people that itch my ear, people that made me feel good, and Understand that that's one of the signs of the last days. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, you know, there's going to be in the, one of the signs of the times, people are going to be looking for people that all they say is things that make them feel good. And this is evil. He says, have nothing to do with them. And it's not that, that like you're not my friend anymore. It's the fact that if you catch that, if you get that disease, you know, you're going to be in that crowd. And next thing you know, you're going to be thinking, if somebody tells you truth, you know, then that's not God.
Right.
And this stuff about saying, you know, that if you get a word, a prophetic word, if God speaks to you and it doesn't bear witness, in other words, something you didn't know already, then it's not God. That's not biblically correct. I mean, tell me that Balaam on his donkey, when he's going there to prophesy against God's folks, he didn't know God was going to deal with him. It took a donkey to turn around and start talking to him going, okay, this probably doesn't bear witness with you right now, but there's an angel in front of us and he's going to kill us both. He's going to kill. I mean, so that didn't bear witness with what was in him. Mm-hmm. That's just all pride. God's in control. God is all God, all knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent. And he speaks and we listen. You know, sometimes there is a witness. Sometimes, you know, you're walking with God and you're hearing what he says and there's an amen that happens. But even when you didn't even know and God speaks and you know it's God, even if you didn't have it inside of you, there needs to be an amen following that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord says, repent. Oh, that couldn't be God. You know, it's like, because I don't feel like repenting.
Right. Right.
And so building for 1,000 years, because to get a long-term vision for God and understand that if you invest what God has given you, if you live for him in this lifetime, and in one way you can do that, just stand with us, stand with VFN TV, the Data Radio program. Stand up for God and country in that order in Israel. Who's doing that? Who is stepping outside of the religious caves of doctrinal, you know, buildings and coming outside going, hey, we're believers. You know, we can all come together, kingdom vision, right? You know, we own businesses. We have a leadership in the community. We're normal like everybody else. Mm-hmm. We can share our opinion. We can talk about what's going on. And people get hope and things happen and we can build for 1,000 years. And he told us, he specifically said, you know, I want you, when he created us, he said, you know, take dominion. You know, he said to tend the garden. There's a garden of entrustment that God's given to each of us. It's different, but you're supposed to work that thing, that talent, that thing, whatever that is, and just make it more fruitful. And maybe it's your workplace. Maybe you're a pastor, you know, maybe you're a mother and you're doing that for your family. I don't know, but whatever it is, that's his expectation of us, to take dominion, not just to keep giving up land and giving up more land and giving up more doctrine and giving up, you know, the original intent of presently our nation. That's not what he, you know, you should go down standing up. Mm. You know, when you've done everything you can do, don't lay down, stand, you know, right? Your feet right. Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he says, the Lord says, when you do this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, that he'll raise a standard if we stand. So think about it. Building for 1,000 years. I mean, how exciting is that? Somebody says, well, you know, why such a long, long vision? It's like, we're going to live for eternity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's nothing.
And 1,000 years in eternity is like nothing at all. Yeah. And not only that, we have to spend eternity realizing that we didn't build for 1,000 years. We didn't even build for 5. How many people say 5 years is a long-term investment?
Mm-hmm.
5 years is going to take me 5 years to do this. It's like it could take our entire lifetime, ever how long that is, to be able to do it. We can lay a foundation that will continue to produce fruit way beyond us, not for our own glory, but for the glory of the one who we're living for, mm-hmm. who we're a bondservant for, who we're sons and daughters of. And building for 1,000 years, which means we think about our relationships and life and ministry and business. How do we do that? We build it on love.
Mm-hmm.
You build it on love. And so you have, I mean, when you think about, you look at the kingdom of God will be preached to all and then the end will come. Not the end of the earth, the end of the dispensation of grace and the redemption of all mankind. I guess I gotta be more specific because there's a huge assumption that the cappuccino is gonna drop and we're gonna be out of here. Is that the economy is a very important thing. You look at this big, huge rise of an economy right now. But if you look at The word of God, I believe it's in Revelations, where he's talking about the angels holding back the four winds. Mm-hmm. And these four winds would come against and destroy mankind if they were let go. But God is holding them back so they won't bring destruction on mankind. Well, the first wind that came in the history is the wind of military force. So that if you go back and study history, you look where everybody's trying to conquer everybody through, you know, just military strength. And then the next season after that was religion, where you notice the Islam and even the dark ages of the church, and that the military forces submitted up under those religions, and the religion was the one, the wind of religion was blowing and ruling the earth. And then the next season, which we're coming to the end of, and you're seeing it, I believe we've already walked out of it, is the political wind. Because for a while, politics was, people were doing things based on politics, and it was amazing what they could do through voting Hitler in and then Hitler using war. But the political arena is what brought Hitler to that place. He got a popularity vote, and he mm-hmm. got there, Stalin, all these folks. And then the military force, you know, submitted itself to politics, and the religion submitted itself to politics. And you look at Ukraine right now, you know, the church is working with the Russian government, the perceived church working with the Russian government to persecute the church in Ukraine. And this last one that we're looking, this last wind that we are in now, it's the economy. It's an economic wind. It's money. And people with money, I think the reports are that David Yarn with Kingdom Business Association said that maybe it's eight or less. I don't know how many it was. They were actually the ones responsible for the financial collapse that happened in 2007.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, because they had that kind of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So then that means the military, the religion, mm-hmm. the winds of the military, the winds of religion, the winds of politics. I mean, how many politicians right now, everybody says they're just bought. You know, they're going to do whatever their biggest contributor did. Mm-hmm. The thing is, what you're looking at is now money, the economy, everything now is submitting. Everything that's not submitted to God is submitting to this last economic power. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if we're in this escapism mentality, we'll just let that whole wave just kind of go over and destroy all mankind, that wind blow. Or we could say, you know what? It's time for us to preach because God loves mankind. And this is a whole unfolding strategy, and this last evil wind that God's angels are holding back, and if he let it go, it'd just be, you know, that's what happens in Revelation when you look at tribulations and things going on. But if you look at Revelation chapter 13, that's what happens. He says that this beast will be given the authority over the economy. And then if you don't take the mark, you can't move in this economy. You can't buy or sell. People say, well, I got these three other things. I got military force, I got political strength, and I have religion. Mm. Like, no, those are submitting now mm-hmm. to this last wind.
Right.
Now, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not submitting. But all this religion and all that stuff, you know, religion is what put Jesus on the cross. But a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not talking about that. So you're thinking, you know, I'm not going to pay attention to this economy. I'm just, you know, I don't have a credit card. You know, I don't, you know, I pay cash. You know, whatever mindset you have. But you're thinking you have these other three winds. You know, you have this strength, and you have this religion, and you have this political power. And it's like, all that's submitted to money right now. And he says, you cannot buy or sell. If we're building for 1,000 years, we've got to begin to think about this. You cannot buy or sell until you take this particular mark, whatever it is, a seal of the beast. And for some reason, it's a big deal that this thing can speak, which to me sounds pretty interesting. Mm. Almost sounds like virtual whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. it's talking to me. Siri, where do you want to go today, right? I don't know. But they're amazed that it has been given the ability to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And since men are limited in their power and Satan is limited, I mean, he's going to need something to help him out. And it's like, how many people today, even people that call themselves Christians, would take the mark of the economy. They would take the mark of the base. Say, listen, I'm an American, I'm a whatever, and that, you know, if you're going to do business here, you got to do business. I mean, how many people have we seen that lift their business over God's business? It's amazing. And they talk, they look at you with a straight face, and they really think that's a reasonable statement before God. You understood God. I needed to stay in this huge mansion that I lived in America, and this, I needed to have these things and this stuff and this private school and, you know, and whatever, you know. And it's like, no, that business should be submitted to God. I mean, he'll bless it. He loves businesses of God. How many people would just, okay, this is the wind of today's politics. This is the wind of today's religious wind. This is the economic wind. Just, we'll get through this time. You know, this presidency will only last 4 years or 8 years at the most, but we'll get through this. And during that time, just like everything that most people do when they get a program downloaded on their phones or computers, they go, accept, 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 accept. They don't even read. Nobody reads that stuff. Even the people that write it. I watched a conference. We may have this on the torch. You can watch them talk about it. It's very boring, but I love stuff like that. And they were talking about, we know that people don't read the stuff that we write. Right. Which should be totally illegal. They should just have like four bullet points, you know, or something. Then, but so how many people were just going to say, if I got to accept this mark to have economic, the ability to buy food and that type of thing, how many people would do it? And people say, well, the church is not going to do it. Well, think about this. 97% of the church, according to George Barna, people who attend church regularly right now, every 2 weeks, go to a gathering somewhere. 97% of them already serve money.
Wow.
They just may not take, there's not a mark yet or anything, but they serve money because they don't tithe. They rob God of his tithes and offerings. Doesn't George Barna, this is what George Barna says. So how do you think that type of mindset is not going to just quickly just boom, take the mark? And it's like, well, God will let you know. He's letting you know right now. Honor him with the first fruits, but you're not doing it. Right?
That's right.
But I don't have enough. Well, you know, you're saying economic power is more powerful than God, that God don't have the ability to provide for you. And by the way, taking the mark is not the sin. Taking the mark is actually not the sin. It represents the sin, which is this, worshiping the beast. That's the sin. So by having the mark, it means we bow down to this last wind of the economy. How many people bowed down to military power that was pushing you outside of God's will during that wind? How many people bowed down to, you know, and denied Jesus Christ during this, you know, Ottoman Empire and Islamic push and these radical religions that pushed across the world during the second wind? And how many people, you know, bowed down into the political season and just gave in to their, you know, during that wind? Now here's this economic wind. You don't think, If you bow down to all three winds, you don't think this last one that you'll take the mark and just go, you know, it's just money. It's just business. Or you can say, I'm going to prepare myself. You know, I'm going to prepare myself. I want to begin to move in kingdom business. I want to move in kingdom finance. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about that, because when you begin to see that God has good plans in store for you, and for your business and for your economy, because he has an economy totally outside of this economy, and begin to operate now in it, you're preparing yourself to be strong when everybody leans towards that wind and it blows against them and they just start, you know, checking the mark off and bowing down to whatever's happening at that particular wind. You're going to stand strong because your confidence is built that God owns a cattle on a thousand hill. He truly is the one that has an economy that's more pure than anything in this world, and he can bless you beyond you anything you can ever ask or imagine. So building for 1,000 years, what does that look like? Well, I believe God's going to begin to show us if we just trust him and say, you know what, the first thing he tells us is that, you know, we need to, if you're going to build a business that lasts, that never fails, then you would build it on love, right? Because love never fails. I mean, you have the beast's kingdom, then you have God's kingdom. You have kingdom business and you have beast business. You have God's economy and you have Satan's economy. And right now, you know, based on what we're saying, based on our legislator leadership who said greed is America's motivator, and that's what they say. You know, that means it's built on Satan's economy.
Wow.
You can watch it on C-SPAN They're just standing before the president. Bill Clinton said it's the economy, stupid. Mm. You see, and that's this money. President George Bush said that the Wall Street got drunk on greed. And what it is, they're saying that it's just a, it's not God's economy. God's economy is not driven by greed. It's not on a foundation of, hey, if you get enough people lusting after more money and stuff, they'll build bigger buildings and hire more people, and therefore we'll have a great unemployment. You know, the unemployment rate will be dropped and that type of thing. It's like that's not built on. That's like one particular church organization said, and their concept was based on some reports given to me, was that if you get in debt, that will cause your church to grow, because the people who are carrying the debt will want to go out and win people to the Lord to come and help pay the debt. So the whole thing is built on the beast economy.
Yeah.
That's not God's economy. God's economy is not the whole point about Jesus Christ is he paid our debts. We don't create a debt and then go out and get people to help us pay the debt and drive people because of narcissism. Like, I don't want to pay that bill. I'm going to go tell Joe to come to my church and tell him all the time, are you tithing? He's like, what are you doing? That's the beast economy. That's not God's economy. And so he said, love never fails. So you can build a business, a kingdom business, on love. You can love what you do. First of all, you need to be able to love what you do. I mean, think the best way that you can spend the rest of your life is find out what you love to do and do it. And you'll find out it'll make room for you. Your gift will make room for you. You know, no matter what, you could get paid lower than you got paid in all your life. But every day you go to bed going, you know what? Hey, this is what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm eating. I got a shelter. Life's good. Versus somebody that's built their whole life on just the value of money and the beast economy concept. And they got a whole bunch of widgets and a whole bunch of money, but they're depressed and ready to jump out of the next window.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you got to first love what you do. Don't quit. You know, love never quits is another way to look at that particular word, failing. And that sometimes the difference between success and failure is 5 more minutes, just not quitting. It's amazing how many successes that we have had just because we continued.
That's right.
What did you do? I didn't quit. It was amazing.
it was a miracle.
Yeah, I had a whole council saying, just quit. Thank you, Lucifer. And just sticking and staying and holding on to God. And it's amazing what he does. I mean, just love doesn't. If you love God and God tells you to do something and he tells you this is your garden, you're supposed to, you know, love what you're doing. Maybe you're in sales. Maybe you're in real estate. Maybe you have your family and you're just loving on your family. You're just, you know, whatever it is, you just love what you're doing. Maybe you're a leader. You know, you like being in politics and that's your thing to do. But you, in the fear of the Lord, you just love it. You love the people. I know we have, you know, some leaders that are around us, and there's one out of five that is in constant contact with not just his constituents, but the constituents all around the entire, you know, county that he's in, keeping them up to date. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. It's so simple to do with today's technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think, wow, this man is pastoring his district. He's actually staying on top. He loves what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so loving what you're doing is the first thing. Building, so you can't, if you hate what you're doing and you don't want to show up and it's not what God called you to do and it's not in you to do, you need to begin to pray and ask God, you know, what is in me? What talents did you give me? So that you can love it. You can love it. And that way you can, you're building it on love. Secondly, I mean, how many people are doing what they don't love?
I'm
going to the call center. Hello. No, anyway, so then the second thing is love your employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one employee, 10 employees, 1,000 employees. Get this. Really care about them. Care about their families. Care about their every day. They're going through the same thing you're going through. They just don't own the company or they just aren't managing it. But they're just like you. They're human beings that create in the image and the likeness of God. Care about them. Love them. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. You're building your business on kingdom business. And guess what? When everybody, these things I'm telling you, when everybody starts to take the mark and just let that wind of this last wind, the angels are holding back, kid, it's catching everybody's sail, you know, the sails of their boat, so they get the seal of the beast. You're going to be stable in the foundation of building your business, kingdom business on God, because you're building it in love. So truly love your employees. Third, and we'll talk more about this in the future. You can hear more about this because, you know, we're all focusing on these seven mountains. And next is love your customer. It's amazing how many people, just a customer walks into the store and you don't say a word to them at all. And if you do, it's only because you want them to transfer money from their pocket to yours. Mm. What's their name? Why are they there? Where do they come from? Is everything all right? Take your time to know your customer's name. Love them. Love them the way that Christ mm-hmm. loved you. Love, build your business on love. Be grateful. When somebody buys a car from you, call them in 6 months and don't be terrified to ask them how it's doing. If it's not good, take it back. Mm-hmm. You know, if you sold them a 5-year payment plan for a 6-month car, that's not a godly business. Mm-hmm. If it only lasted 6 months, but they're paying on it for 60, mm-hmm. and you knew that, that is Lucifer's economy. That's the beast economy. But you're thinking your trust in God's economy is, you know, you want to do right by your customers.
And you can think about those businesses that focus on customers. It's like, and in your everyday life, those businesses stand out to you that, like, they step outside of the finance and they focus on you. It's huge. Yeah.
And you'll find, I mean, even the world understands this, that mm-hmm. in the churches, we have to begin to understand that we are going to be given a choice to be able to build in yeah. God's. And the thing about it is, we have this escapism mentality, and I'm wrapping this up and I'll talk more in the future on this, that if we have this escapism mentality, we show up at work thinking, anytime I'm going to drop my latte and I'm out of here.
Right.
You know, we're not thinking about building for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
We're not thinking about that he called us to love. And he says, you know, if you don't love your brother, you don't even know God. You don't even love God. And so we have to learn to love folks. But if you're not in the place that you love, doing the thing that you love, and loving the people that are around you, and loving your customers, the ones that are, you know, appreciate them, and you're amazing, you're thinking, God, that they chose to do business with you. And you tell them up front, you go, thank you. You could have shopped anywhere, but you chose to do business here. And I just want to tell you how much that means to me. How's the wife Barbara doing? You know, and earnestly mean it. Right. Not because it popped up on some reminder. You truly care about your customers. When it comes time to Christmas, you're thinking about, hey, I want to honor our customers and our employees. Want to have a function that kind of it celebrates everybody. And this is what he said. He said, if you build it on love, love never fails. Love doesn't quit. And if you love it, you won't quit. You'll just figure out a new way to do it. You'll approach it from a different direction. And that's what God's wanting us to do. So what does that mean? That means, and we're coming to the end of our program, and we'll talk more in the future on this, and listen, because we need to begin to build our businesses and our life on the kingdom principles, the kingdom of God, and not the beast economy, on God's economy, not the beast economy, because right now there needs to be a line drawn between what is the beast economy and what's God's economy. Because if 97% of us are not honoring God, we ain't got this figured out yet. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.